So, in our sermon series, we are seeking to deepen our understanding and appreciation of Jesus' death on the cross. And we come this week to the aspect of the cross called justification. Our question today is, what does it mean to say that Jesus' death on the cross justifies a person before God? Open your Bible at Romans chapter 3, the first reading that Connie gave us. It's on page 795. We'll look at some of the verses together as we go through. If you were here 2 weeks ago, we looked at the same passage in my talk on atonement. And the reason for this is there's just so much packed into these few verses. They're dense and rich with meaning. So we're going to explore it at greater depth today. And just as an aside, if you missed a talk in the teaching series, I do encourage you to listen back to them on the website. The talks kind of go together and they build on each other. So it is well worth doing that. And you can find them on the website in the adult section. And I've put a red circle around where you click to get there. Not the adult section, the adults section. This talk is quite focused. Normally when I preach, I have about three headings to guide us through the talk, but this time I've got five. However, I do promise that they are shorter than normal, so the talk won't be a really long talk. So let's get going. Firstly, this mic's winding me up. Firstly, justification equals 100% righteousness. Justification is about God looking at your heart and your mind and seeing nothing wrong in you which he should judge. Justification is about you being 100% righteous before God. That is that you have complete integrity in your character and you completely keep God's laws. The words righteousness and justify occur several times in today's Bible reading. You may have noticed them as Connie read it. And in English, they sound like very different words. Justification, righteousness sound very different. But in the original Greek, they're very similar words. And you can see that they come from exactly the same root. To be justified by God is to be made righteous in his sight. And here's something to help you to understand what righteousness is. Think about those times when someone has given a false report of something you did or said. They're not necessarily being cruel. Maybe they just misunderstood you. But whatever it is, they got it wrong and they didn't understand what you meant. Do you ever get that desire rise up in you to put the record straight? It can be quite a strong emotion in you to correct the details. That is your desire to be righteous, to be justified. For your reputation and character to align inside you and to also align in the minds of other people. The desire to be righteous is the reason we keep a promise we've made, even when it's very difficult or costly. When someone's reputation is ruined by articles in a newspaper, and they then take the newspaper to court on a libel charge, this is about protecting their righteousness and being justified in front of the public. People will spend millions of pounds to be justified and seen as righteous. We naturally want to be righteous. It's part of our human nature. But if we are honest, we know that we are filled with contradictions of motive and desire. We know that we fail repeatedly to keep our own standards, let alone God's standards. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We looked at that verse last week. No one is truly righteous in God's sight. Yes, when we compare human against human, some are more righteous than others. We're not like that lot that go to prison. We're not like ISIS. But in God's sight, everyone falls short. So what should God do as the good and just God? He should punish us for the wrong things that we do. But because of his great love for the world, he presented a way to justify sinners. And that's what this talk is about. He did it by giving his one and only Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In the act of Jesus dying on the cross, God did two things to justify us. He punished and removed our moral guilt. And we'll have a look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23 for this point. We've learned over the last 2 weeks that in the Old Testament Israelite temple, two goats were presented to God by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. One goat was offered as a sacrifice. The animal died, and in so doing, the animal took the punishment that the moral guilt of the Israelite community deserved. With the other goat, the scapegoat, the high priest laid his hands on the animal's head and transferred all the sins of the Israelites onto the animal. And the goat was sent out into the desert, and the moral guilt of the Israelites was removed from the camp and the community, and they were made clean. Romans 3:25 says that God presented Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement. This tells us the amazing truth that when Jesus died on the cross, his job was to serve the same purpose as those two goats. This time, not just for the Israelites, but for the sins of the whole world. He was punished for our sins. God the Father laid all our moral guilt on Jesus Christ on the cross. I want you to imagine that this hand represents you and me. This is you and me. And I want you to imagine that this black square represents our moral guilt. That's our guilt before God, before the things that we've done wrong. Here it is. It's on us, and God should rightly, as the just God, punish us for those sins. Imagine that this hand is Jesus Christ on the cross. When Jesus is on the cross, he takes our sins and moral guilt and transfers them over and puts them onto Jesus, and Jesus is punished in our place. This is part of justification. The transfer of our sins and the punishment that they deserve onto Jesus. You see, God must punish sin because he's a just God. But he punished his own beloved Son instead so that he could redeem us from the penalty of our sins. Have a look at verse 23 in your Bibles again. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Everyone has sinned, but God justified us through offering Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement. So justification does two things. It takes away our moral guilt. Jesus is punished in our place, and it removes it from us and takes it away so that God doesn't look at our sin, but he sees us as clean. So to be justified before God means being 100% righteous in our character and our actions. And we cannot achieve that in ourselves. And so God does an amazing thing. He credits righteousness to us through punishing Jesus in our place. And this leads us to the heart of the message of the cross in Romans chapters 3 and 4, which is this, that justification is by faith. Justification is by faith. Please look with me at verse 22. This righteousness from God, that is, this justification from God, comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God gives us a righteousness which isn't actually ours. We get a credit of 100% righteousness because Jesus was punished instead of us. The extraordinary message of the cross is that we get 100% righteousness simply by putting our faith, trust, and belief in Jesus Christ as our justifier. Imagine that this hand is you and me. And imagine that this hand is Jesus Christ. God transfers our sins and puts them onto Jesus. And in doing that, he gives us 100% righteousness. He credits it to us. So that now when he looks at us, he doesn't see our black sins. They're on Jesus. No, he sees 100% righteousness. So he doesn't have to judge us. Justification is by faith. Now, in our day-to-day living, even after we put our faith in Jesus, we still continue to sin. In our day-to-day living, we are not 100% righteous. Even me, the chaplain. But in terms of how God looks at us, in regard to his justice, he sees us as 100% justified. This is the amazing message of the cross. Sometimes it's described that we're given an alien righteousness. Not an alien from another planet, but an alien righteousness because it doesn't actually belong to us. It's a free gift from God. And we receive it through faith. Next, justification is a free gift from God. Verse 24 says that everyone who has faith in Jesus Christ is justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. So justification is a free gift from God. It's a gift that we don't deserve. Think of the difference between earning 10,000 euros through your job for the work you do. Think about the difference between that. And on the other hand, a gift of 10,000 euros from your father. The 10,000 euros from your job is yours by right. You earned it. And your employer is morally obliged to pay you. But the 10,000 euros from your father is a gift. Your father has no moral obligation to give it to you. That's what a gift is, isn't it? The righteousness which God gives to those who put their faith in Jesus is a gift. God is under no moral obligation to justify us. Rather, verse 24, we are justified freely by his grace. And in fact, God's moral obligation is to do exactly the opposite. Later on in Romans, it says that the wages of sin is death. This is what God owes us. If we're to go by the rule book, this is what God owes us. He owes us death because of our sins. That's what he should give us. But I don't know if you know the rest of that famous verse. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And here we get to the message of the cross. We don't get justified before God by keeping his laws. Law-keeping was the Jewish culture that Paul was immersed in. He was swimming in it. It was what he'd grown up in. And he was the champion of law-keeping righteousness until he met Jesus Christ. He was such a champion of it that he hated the early church and persecuted Christians. His thing was being righteous by rigorous keeping of God's law. But you see, the gospel is different to this. The gospel of Jesus Christ is different. And if you read on in Romans chapter 4, Paul's argument is actually that the gospel in the life of Abraham, the father of Judaism, was different as well. It's always been righteousness by faith. So in Jesus Christ, a righteousness from God, apart from law, has been made known. God's made it available to people of all races and nationalities. It's no longer just for the Israelites. It's for you, whichever country you come from. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus to all who believe. Those who believe are justified freely. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. It can be an enormous shock to hear this message of the cross. Some people think that religion is primarily about trying to be a better person. They think that's the heart and core of religion. Trying to justify ourselves by doing good things. This is the basis of the Hindu model of karma. Your reincarnation in the next life is dependent on your good works in this life. That's why Hindus aren't terribly impressed by missionaries, because missionaries in a Hindu mindset are only helping themselves. This is the basis of the noble path, the eight ways of Buddhism, so that you can reach enlightenment and nirvana. This is the basis of Islamic righteousness. That's why Muslims have to do the Hajj and pray five times a day and do the five pillars of Islam. Because if they do, it gives them some level of assurance that Allah will accept them. And this is the basis for Judaism, which doesn't accept Jesus as the Messiah. You see, in all these religions, justifying yourself before God is at the heart of it. But the message of the cross is that we can never be good enough in ourselves. And so God gives us a free gift of 100% righteousness. This is the wonderful and in some ways shocking message of the cross. Well, as we come to close, let us finish by considering Jesus' teaching on righteousness and justification from the second reading in Luke's Gospel. We'll just look at this for the final couple of minutes. And Jesus' point in this story is about the kind of attitude that we should have when we come before God. That is that justification requires a humble attitude. A humble attitude is essential. And if you'd like to turn to that, it's on page 740. Jesus meets a man who was confident of his own righteousness. And because of this, he looks down on everyone else. So Jesus told this short parable. Two men went to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. When Jesus' audience hear that, they're meant to think Pharisee, good guy, tax collector, baddie. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector here. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Do you hear the works righteousness coming through? I'm righteous because I keep away from doing bad things and I do good things. The tax collector, in contrast, stood at a distance and he wouldn't even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Then Jesus said, I tell you, this man, rather than the other one, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus shows us that when it comes to righteousness and justification, our attitude is fundamentally important. The Pharisee thought he was justified because he avoided big public sins and he did good works like fasting from food. He thought he was earning his righteousness with God, that he was getting credit from God for the good things he did. And because of that, he developed a superior and arrogant attitude. But the gospel is that no one can earn 100% righteousness. Justification is a free gift from God to those who humbly put their faith in Jesus' blood. God, have mercy on me, a sinner, said the tax collector. The tax collector went home justified, not the Pharisee. There's no superiority at the foot of the cross. Each and every person who puts their faith and hope in Jesus Christ comes as an equal. There's a quality at the foot of the cross. Because we are all like asylum seekers who are given a home and royal clothes which we have not earned. Everyone, whether you're a children's ministry teacher or on the coffee rota or a church warden or on the leadership team or the chaplain or a bishop or an archbishop, we all come as equals at the foot of the cross because no one deserves God's justification. But he justifies us freely by his grace when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. So we began with the question, what does it mean to say that Jesus' death on the cross justifies a person before God? And let me answer that with a summary of this talk. Justification means 100% righteousness. It means that our moral guilt is punished and our moral guilt is removed through Jesus' death on the cross. We receive justification by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And this justification is a free gift from God. And finally, when it comes to being justified, a humble attitude is essential. This is the message of the cross.